Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 6. Kathy was talking about requesting prayer for school, where she works. And I was thinking when she said that, I was thinking of Anderson County up there. Just last week, I believe it was, some guy was planning on going and shooting a bunch of people in the school. And this lady got wind of it. I forget exactly how, but she let authorities know, and they stopped the car, and he was on his way to school, had a bunch of guns and ammunition and so forth. Dangerous, dangerous, perilous times. I was thinking when she said that, our schools have changed a lot. I was reading and I was listening to I believe his name's David Barton one time. And I'll never forget what he said. He said when prayer went out of school, and they voted prayer out of school, Supreme Court in the 70s, they used the liberal Supreme Court that they had. And that's why the liberals hated to see conservatives get in on the Supreme Court. When they had it in the 60s and 70s, they destroyed this country with decisions that they made. But when they took it out and they changed things in the public school, they made a wide path between church and state. The greatest offenses in school was occasional fist fight, running in the hallways, chewing gum, a few things like that, shooting paper wads, a few things like that they would get in trouble with. Now, I mean, my goodness. Killings, drugs, alcohol, pregnancies everywhere, all kinds of issues, suicides, and something. What's happened? One of the tricks of the trade for the German army in the World War II was they would change the signs and signposts. The Bible says that there's two main roads. There are only two roads. Not main roads, there's two roads. One goes to heaven, one goes to hell. One is wide, broad, destructive. One is straight, narrow, and brings life eternal.
Amen.
Now listen to me. On the wide road, they're trying to change the signs. They're trying to call it other things, pretend it leads to other places. But the sign doesn't change the road.
Amen.
The road still goes the same place, the same destination, the same outcome.
Right.
And somebody said, well, they said that it's not that way anymore. That we serve a God of love. He wouldn't allow somebody to go to hell and face hell and eternity in flaming, burning fire forever and ever and ever. My friend, the road's still there. You can have Joe Osteen. You can have people like Rick Warren. You can have other people start putting new signs up on the road. But it doesn't change the road.
Amen.
The road still ends. You can say, well, we don't preach on sin anymore, and we don't preach at sin, and we don't call it sin anymore where we come from. You can change the sign, but the road's still there. It doesn't help. What we've done today is we changed all the signs. And we hope that, therefore, they will lead to a different destination. But it won't. Jeremiah was living in a time, like we preached this morning, where Israel was rebelling against God. It's amazing how many times God comes to Israel, and over and over and over he comes to them, and they've gotten away from him, and he sends his prophets to try to tell them how to straighten up and how to change their ways. Begin reading with me, if you would, in chapter 6 of Jeremiah, in verse number 16. We're going to preach from verse 16, but I want to read a few other verses just to lay some history, if you would. In chapter 6, verse 16, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, and behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor my law, but rejected it. To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and the sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them, and the neighbor and his friend shall perish. Thus saith the Lord, behold, a people cometh from the north country, and a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. And they shall lay hold on bow and spear, and they are cruel, and they have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea. They ride upon the horses and set in array as men for war against thee, O daughter of Zion. We have heard the fame thereof, our hands wax feeble. Anguish hath taken hold of us, and pain as of a woman in travail. Go not forth into the field, nor walk by the way, for the sword of the enemy and the fear is on every side. O daughter of my people, gird thee with sackcloth, and wallow thyself in ashes. Make thee mourning as for an only son. Most bitter lamentation for the spoilers shall suddenly come upon us. I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try their way. They are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron. They are all corruptors. The bellows are burned. The lead is consumed of the fire. The founder melteth in vain, for the wicked are not plucked away. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them." In the book of Jeremiah, he has great principles. Principles to call back Judah and to remind Judah of some things going on in their life. To try to get them to hearken. The book of Jeremiah, he does such a good job in trying to encourage those to repent, to wake up and to see what's going on. Yet the amazing thing, all through the book of Jeremiah, they ignored his preaching. They eventually threw him in prison. And there he sat in prison, but everything he was telling them that was going to happen, this army from the north, guess what happened? The army from the north came. Guess also what happened? They were cruel. Man, were they cruel. Did they make their children and women and all those things pay a price? Did they make the men suffer when they came upon them? The Syrian army was such a cruel army. They were terrible. They were mean. They had no heart. They had no mercy, just as God told them that they would. But he tried to encourage them to stay into the old paths. And tonight I want to preach just a few moments upon the old paths. I want you young people to know something. Just because they change the signs, the road still goes to the same place.
Amen.
It's not going to help you just because they begin to call things differently. What answers has the new path had? Look at the answers that this liberal government had when they took all this out of school and they began to change the courts and the homes and the government. They began to take God out of each one of those and reject God. They began to take God's ways away. What has their answers been? How are we better off? I mean, we're getting to a place where we can't even stand and say a pledge of allegiance anymore to our flag. We got a place where we can't mention the name Jesus anymore. Where we can't mention the Word of God. We can't come to public school and proclaim something for Christ anymore. Where are we any better off? Their answers that they've come up with, how that's been working for you. How's that been helping our country? I appreciate it, and I know sometimes people may get irritated, but I appreciated the slogan that President Trump come with, Make America Great Again. Now, I heard some people get up on there, like the governor of New York said, America never was great. God made America one of the greatest nations in the world. But she was made that way because she honored God. She honored the Word of God. The thing that's pulled America down and changed her, where we don't even recognize her anymore, has been the fact that we've rejected God. And somebody said, well, it's because of all this immigration stuff. No, but the Bible says when we reject God that strangers begin to burn our cities. Now we have strangers burning our cities. We have people that's inside of America wanting to have a Sharia law. And by the way, courts are beginning to change over in England, supporting Sharia law, letting the Muslims have that in spite of their own laws. We have a constitution. Some of the liberals wants to do away with the constitution. That's why I was glad to see the judges come as well. Good. But let's get back to the old past, folks. The old past are not bad past. When you go away from the old past, and what you do is you try to substitute new ways for God's ways. They may look good and they may seem good and somebody may talk a good show. But let me ask you this. Leaving the Andy Griffith days and places like that, has the homes been any better off? Has our schools been better off? Has relationships been any better off? How many of you long for simpler days? I was listening to someone talk about having to go here and there to get a good meal. I didn't have to experience that. I grew up in a time when I had a good meal every single meal. I had a mother that went to the kitchen, she cooked. And when she cooked, she called the kids, and you come and ate. And if you didn't eat, that's your bad. But take a good look. We all learned to eat, didn't we? We all got around to eat, all of us. But the point was, we had a time when we knew each other. We were around each other. Sundays were quiet days in which we would go home, and we'd go home with somebody, or they'd come home with us. We didn't run the roads the whole time. We sat and we talked. We fellowshiped. We got to know each other. We spent more time back then talking to God than we did talking on phone. The phones wasn't a place of a life that had our complete attention. Increase of knowledge has helped some in some manners, but I tell you, somebody said, I don't know where we was at before we got our cell phones. I do a lot more peaceful. And I've got one myself. I'm a dummy with a smartphone. But the point of the matter is this. The old past that we left, we didn't do ourselves any favors. I was thinking about this. Only the blood of Christ can justify. A sinner cannot be justified by anything else than the blood of Christ. We try to put other signs up. We try to build different roads. We are nothing but thieves and robbers. We're sending people to hell by teaching false doctrine when we go away from teaching Jesus as the only means and ways of salvation. Somebody said, well, we have all these religions and we have to open it up. I told the mayor one time when I went, I was talking about he's wanting to sell all alcohol on Sunday. I said, is there any day anymore that you all reverence at all for just a little bit that you can't leave alone without selling alcohol? He said, well, there's so many religions, everybody's got a different day. I said, that's not the way it used to be in America. What's happened? I've always been of this saying, if you come in America, that's fine. But you come in America for America, you don't come in to change America.
Right.
America is America, and what made America great is what America is.
Amen.
And if we change it, look like your country and be like your country, then we have the same problems that you was trying to escape when you come here. All this group jump up wanting to teach a socialistic government. They don't even have a clue what a socialistic government is. They live in one for a while and they wouldn't even want to have one. But let's get back to this a moment. You can't have any other path than Christ justifying a sinner.
Amen.
The Word of God has to satisfy us. Nothing else can satisfy us. The Holy Spirit of God has got to sanctify us. Somebody said, what's the difference? The difference is this. Our founding fathers had a secret in America. Somebody said that America wasn't founded as a Christian nation, but what one of our founding fathers said was this, and he had a lot of wisdom. They asked him, he said, if America ever ceases to be a Christian nation, it will cease to be a nation. But they asked him and said, how do you make people in America abide by the law? He said, that's a secret of America's greatness. People's got the Spirit of God in their heart, and he writes laws upon their heart. You can't have politicians to teach that. You can't have governments to enforce that. Only God can raise a nation when he moves upon people's heart and they have him inside. Then therefore, they can bring peace and they don't go to do harm. Listen, I don't ever sit around at night and think about going and blowing up a school. I don't ever think about going into a school with a AK-47 and start shooting everybody. I don't even think about going and beating somebody up. I don't sit around and I don't think about how I can rob somebody and steal from somebody.
Amen.
I don't sit around and think about those things. What we've done is this. Somebody said, what's happened to our nation? People doesn't have God.
That's right. Amen.
When God's not filling them, you know who's filling them? Every spirit that wants to come in. And whenever you begin to dabble in all this stuff, there's a lot of seducing spirits out there. Comes in and comes into lives. Just like some of these people that just the last few days they've arrested. How sinister. Didn't care a bit to kill. Didn't lose any sleep about it. Who would be involved? Somebody said they're evil. Well, folks, there's only two roads, good and evil. You can change the signs. They've taken the road of evil and they've tried to call it everything in the world. They've tried to put big long names to evil. They've tried to explain evil. They've tried to give medication to evil. They've tried to give psychology to evil. But only God can take evil and turn it into good. And we're beating a dead horse to death because what we're trying to do is we're trying to change people's hearts without the Spirit of God. Only the Spirit of God can sanctify people.
Amen.
The old past, God, he's warning the people here to forsake the idols that they've turned to. Therefore, we have to understand the importance of the Word of God. Now, I'm not going to get into that. But we have to believe that the Bible is given by the inspiration of God and it's profitable for all the things that Timothy said. Paul told Timothy it was for. All the doctrine, instruction, righteousness, all those things, correction. All those things are important. Young people, When you get out and you quit the Word of God, you know, it's amazing to me. We go up to the city has Rocky Hollow up here. I know the girls go through some same things. But we have Rocky Hollow up here and we practice. That's where we practice ball. I cannot tell you how many times people comes in there and sits down beside me. And they say, man, your boys, there's something different about them. I've had some of the ones that works at Rocky Hollow, and some of these boys goes there and plays with all. They mix and play ball with some of the other ones. They said even the other boys notice that there's something different about them. And what I'm trying to get across to you is this. I'm trying to get across the old way still works, folks. There's nothing wrong with raising our kids to honor the Word of God. Do I like having a school? I never liked school when I went to it. Still don't like going to school. But I sure wish our public schools honored the Word of God like they used to. I remember when I was a young boy, sometimes they'd have revivals in the community, and sometimes the preachers would come and they'd have a revival right there in school. They let them preach at school. We started every day off reading the Bible, praying. That's the way we started every day off. And, you know, we didn't have a lot of issues, Kathy. If we did, all they did was pick up the phone and call my dad and mom. That pretty well settled that. If they knew what the number was. I'd go in school, they say, what's your phone number? I said, we don't have one. Man, did I learn quick. I was trying to save a little skin. But going back, I'm trying to get across to you parents and you young people. Don't be ashamed of the old past. They work. They're good for you. Having a love for the church, nothing wrong with that. Sometimes people says, they say, well, we've got this. I said, we got church that night. We can't do that. Well, it don't matter. I said, it matters. It does matter. And let me say, don't ever get away from the fact that there is a reality of heaven and hell. It's real. Don't lose sight. Jesus is coming back. Make no apologies for that. Now, let's look back in your Bible just a moment. And by the way, let me say this too while I'm here. Guys, don't be ashamed of being guys. Girls, don't be ashamed of being girls. People ought to be able to look at you and tell whether you're a girl or a guy. Parents, don't mix up people's heads. I don't believe God makes a bunch of mistakes. I believe where the mistake is all the environment and society that you put kids in around. All the things that they get fed. All the things that they're taught to deal with and how to deal with them. But I'm going to tell you this. There's nothing wrong with teaching men to be men, women to be women, boys to be boys and girls to be girls. And by the way, children do not understand where a role of a child is. A child's role is to be respectful. You say, that's old-fashioned. The old past work. I remember if I was stood up and I would say something harsh to an older person when I was growing up, I would have got my mouth mashed. And I'm not exaggerating what would happen. It would have been mashed. And if I'd said something real harsh, I'd not only got my mouth mashed right then, but I got my behind whipped when I got home or right there, you know, wherever I was at. You said, how'd that make you feel? In a lot of pain and embarrassment. Well, why'd you do it? I didn't do it because I was smarter than that. I had respect. They taught me to respect. That's why sometimes somebody says something some of the children sometimes say, no. The other day I told some of the school, I said, listen, I said, some of you family, some of you this, don't call teachers by their first name. You get in the habit of, that's not, you show a amount of respect for that. You separate the teachers. That's to be had. And I appreciate kids, and kids needs to understand. We were taught that we were children by a lot of ways. We were taught by the fact that we didn't sit and mouth back. If I screamed at my parents, I'm going to tell you something else. When it come to eat, they didn't run up there and say, whoa, I got to get little Johnny something to eat. He's throwing a fit. Little Johnny, if we threw a fit, we went out in the backyard and we got settled. And I was taught, listen, grown-ups go first. You're a child, you wait. Did I like it? No. Did I grab a sign and start protesting it? Absolutely not. I'd got whipped with a sign. My point is this. Folks, some of the old past worked. When you start looking at all these new ideas, you know, you had Dr. Spock and some of them come and say, listen, there's all these new ways of raising children. Don't ever touch a child. Don't ever whip a child. Don't ever chase a child. But God said just the opposite. Which path are you going to go down? Look on, if you would, real quickly. And I was thinking, there was a time Diane was talking about TJ and them, the church. I was talking to TJ the other night about it. He said, I'm making a lot of enemies over this alcohol thing. I said, you will. As a matter of fact, one of the ex-state troopers that used to come here, Brother Roger, he brought me a sawed-off shotgun and put over top of my door, and he said, I want you to have this because things got so rough at one point when we were standing. Sometimes you just have to stand. And I told him, I said, you know, there was a time when if you brought up an a liquor issue, you knew where most of the church would stand. That's not so now. Half the people we battled here in Burnside was people of other faiths and other churches. It was amazing. Anyway, look back in your Bibles just a moment in verse 16. I'll close up here in just a second. Those in chapter verse 16, the Bible says that we're to do three things. Number one, we're stand in the ways. We're to ask for the old paths. And then we're to walk in them. What's the reward we have? Listen, let me say this, and I'll close. The reward of going in the old paths is this. If you know which road you're on, then you end up at the right destination. If you know where you're headed, then you can end up there. Not only that, but you can also, when you're on the right road, you're safe all the way. Somebody said, man, it's dangerous in this old world. It is. But when you're saved, you're safe. You understand? You're safe. Somebody said, well, what if I die? It's like John Rice one time. He was preaching at this place, and he walked around the corner, and this guy stuck a gun in his stomach. He said, your money or your life? He pushed the gun aside. He said, son, don't threaten me with heaven. Somebody said, well, if you lose your life, then I go to heaven. Now, and when I get there, there'll be joy waiting. But on the other one is this. Let me say this. All the rest of the verses after verse 16, they said, we won't do it. He said, okay, now look what you're going to be suffering. You say, preacher, I'm going to hang on to the new paths. I like the new ways of doing things. Okay. But if you go a different path than one God's laid out, you won't end up the same place. Only the old path takes you to the destination where God intended it to be. You say, boy, I sure wish this was better. Maybe you varied off the old path. You're looking for all the wrong things in all the wrong places. He has a path. The destination is heaven. The safety is guaranteed. The way is guaranteed. And what we need to do is seek Him and His righteousness. Everything we need along the way, God will provide for us. What a great guarantee. Somebody said, what am I going to do for life? What can I do to make a living? Serve God, and you'll make a living. Some way, somehow, God has a way of just giving you what you need, when you need it, how you need it. And I've seen it happen time and time and time and time again. The old paths. You can't beat them, amen, to stand. Now, I appreciate many times when some of these young people gets up and sings the old songs. And they still find joy in the old songs. Many of the congregations around have lost the joy of the old songs. And they've got to have something loud, new, fast. And that's the only thing that seems to move them is the vibration of the music. Instead of the word speaking to their heart, and speaking to the spirit. How about tonight?
Me not, O gentle sea.